What's going on, everybody, and welcome on into the Put It in the Book show. I'm looking at Rodriguez's face. It feels like he's hearing me. Everything's all set.
I am hearing you.
Now I know for sure. He scrunched up his face. What's going on, everybody? I am Steve, along with my boys and Joe. So let's get around the room here. No, not yet. Wait your turn, man. Laris, what's going on, my friend? How's it going? Well, how's it hanging?
Here, brothers. How you guys doing?
There he is.
I mean, we are right now spring training rock stars. We are winning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
Wait till we lose again, and I'll tell you about that.
Daniel, let us know.
Yes, we know.
All right. Rodriguez, what you got going on down there? How's everything hanging for you?
Everything's hanging to the left. As long as Keith doesn't jump off the ledge, you know, when we lose that next game, we'll be all right. So let's go Mets. Now.
Are you confident in that?
Now. Dude, I'm being very. There it is. See?
He's so impatient today. Okay, go ahead. Something.
What?
The Mets are winning the March World Series.
There it is.
There it is.
Joe, you are my hero.
I'll write that down. Put a bet on it, Las Vegas. What's going
we
on?
We are grapefruit champions. We have balls.
The grapefruit champions. Grapefruits.
Actually, speaking of
the, bets, of the world.
Speaking of
bets, all right.
A bet.
Yeah, the Mets are 40-1 to win the World Series.
Let's do it. Ah. I'm in.
I already threw some on it. We should all chip in $20 each and throw in $80 on it.
No, 25, even 100.
There you go.
Yeah. Come on, Joe. Come on. Don't skimp on the extra other five.
Are there odds on them losing the World Series? Making it.
What is that, dude? Jesus Christ.
All right, stop it.
Jesus.
Wow, my money would have been on Rodriguez getting kicked out first before Keith.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
he's on deck. Don't worry.
He knows my true heart.
All right. So this is spring training episode number 2 for us. We'll talk about the Mets starters. Rodriguez thinks they're at least looking competent early on. We'll talk about, you know, we talked about David Wright being there last week. The straw man there this week, you know, making the rounds down there. Sign Pete already. We have some ideas behind this. I think we all agree on what was Rodriguez's idea in our chat. So we'll get to the Pete thing, of course, again, because this is an ongoing saga. We want to sign him long term before he goes to Toronto. And then we'll talk a little bit about that.
Jesus Christ, Toronto.
I glanced at Larry's
Don't.
There's been some amazing trades between us. We'll talk about it later, but I'm just saying.
And then we'll go through SNY projected what the Mets opening day roster is going to look like, and we'll get into that and see what's going on. Plus, another injury. Producer Joe, get us started, baby. Put it in the box! All right, welcome on back in. We got Rodriguez, Mofan. Look at that.
What's going on? What?
I see somebody, maybe you, maybe somebody else, put Mofan underneath your name.
Mofan?
Like mole. Like.
Oh, mole.
By the way, I realize that I have a large mole on my face.
I love that anyway. I just love that.
I already 5 minutes in, we already got Belchon on the show. All right. So
wait. Now you're gonna say that. I mean, I'm well wanna, known for hating him. I'm
you want to do it? For, okay.
I'm just gonna say it because you brought it up.
Rip the Band-Aid. I'm known
for hating him. And I've hated him ever since he left the Mets and went became a skanky and, you know, and became a cheater and all that stuff. And he's Puerto Rican, plays center field, my favorite. A lot of reasons for me to hate him for the things that he did. Now, I saw an interview with him and some other ball players, and he was talking about the Mets organization when he was here and about him trying to get on the field and play again and the organization just being a little bit hard-headed about it. And they kind of screwed him. We all know this. So I just saw him talking about it. And you know what? I understand why he left. I probably would have left too. So once, you know, I got that in my head, I'm sort of forgiving him for that. He's still a cheater with the Skankies and the Astros. And he's Puerto Rican, which makes it worse. But as a Mets fan, it's okay. You got my blessing to leave, Beltran.
He was the best center fielder in Mets history. I mean,
He was. That's why I could respect him for leaving, because he did it on his own. He got himself back out there on the field basically on his own because the Mets screwed him. You know, so
I respect that. Management from top to bottom in those days up until Cohen took over.
Thank goodness, Keith. Yeah. You're right. Thank God they're gone.
I mean, so many horror stories come out. So, yeah.
So many. So the organization was a joke. And now it's getting back on top again, and we're getting some respect, and we're going to build a team. So take it away for Raj.
All right. Well, I want to hear just a second from producer Joe on whether or not he is also going to be forgiving one Carlos Beltran.
No.
I knew that one would be short to the point.
No. He's a cheater. He's off the books forever. He's a cheater. Sorry.
He's a cheater. Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
He's a cheater, period. I don't want him on our team. I don't want to be associated with him.
I really don't want him around the team, to be honest, because to me, that's always going to be some kind of feeling of him maybe instructing somebody to cheat or something. I just don't trust him anymore. He did it to organizations. Proven. People know he did it.
For me, I really don't give a crap. I mean, honestly, if he's going to get out there and he's going to teach our kids to play better, and if he's going to install knowledge into them from his experience and his talent, and he makes us a better team, then listen, let's go for it. He needs a short leash to make sure he's
not in a position
where you can put us in where he did with the Astros. But look at the Astros. They're still thriving. So, you know, screw them. But I'm all for it if he's going to make us better. I really don't care what people think.
Gonna take him to cheat.
What?
Farage got so upset. So, you know, he you know what? He's like, I can't believe we're already.
By the way, I realize that I have a large mole on my face.
Oh man, the mole. That always makes me laugh. So I guess we gotta run this show without Farage. Farage.
Yeah, because he has
bring him back.
He has some knee issues right now. That's what his problem is.
Is he upset? What is he upset about? No, he can't be upset about anything.
No, his
internet is out.
Yeah, his internet's probably out.
Okay, well, he didn't tell me what we were talking about, so I guess we can just start talking about stuff on the mat.
Wait, he's coming back.
Is he coming back? Come on, Farage, make it back.
He's trying. He's swimming upstream. He's trying.
Oh, my God. He can't swim. Honestly, you know?
I'm going to add to the Beltran thing, which is going to make you guys even more pissed off because I'm
going to
the
Yankees. Just
look at the Yankees, when they were winning, they didn't care what people thought about what their moves were because it was helping them win. I don't know if Beltran's going to help us win, but if the powers that be and Mets management think that he can add that much to us, then we should go for it. Not really care what people think as long as we're winning.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. He
hurts everybody.
He's a cheater. That's all. As long as he knows what he is. I don't care. Let him come and teach him.
Because we don't want to cheat. Right?
I have him mic'd up. Mike his ass up every time he comes to the stadium. I say, hey, well, Mike, can you up just to see what you're talking about with the coaches and stuff? And I'll be like, oh, I'm mic'd up. I can't talk.
Yeah.
You want to teach him to cheat then?
One of the points you made in our chat earlier while we're waiting for Karachi was the staff. And I'm assuming you were specifically speaking to like the coaching staff and how wonderful they've been doing, I mean, with this team. And how our new manager has really seems to be really taking to the team and them to him as well. Right? What do you think?
Well, it looks like he's fitting in. You're right. It looks like he's fitting in with the players. He's out there on the field bantering, talking, running around, being a manager, you know, doing his job, you know, and Stearns has done his job and he's gotten him a lot of pitchers to start. When I was talking about the staff, you know, I'm glad you brought this point up though. Karachi, we just started, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, we just started talking about the staff, the pitching staff. I met the pitching staff. Keith actually brought up a good point of the coaching staff also being really good out there. You know, like these guys are playing really good defense. They seem to be priding the team, you know, prodding them to become a defensive team first and then live off of that with the shortstop Iglesias and these young guys. And they're playing pretty good defense. But I was specifically only talking about the pitching staff. And that's a very good point you brought up, Keith. The coach, the manager running around doing his thing.
I disagree with Keith. I think that's the worst take ever. That's stupid. Why does coaching have what does coaching have to do with anything?
Why are you so upset? What happened? Did I miss something? I must have missed like about 10 seconds or 20 seconds of insults or something because of course you were gone and Keith was happy and no one was saying anything. I must have missed it. Did you guys fight? Did I go into a limbo?
No, he's mad. No, not yet. We haven't gotten into a fight in such a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to fight?
I've been greasing it up.
No, I don't want to. I never want to fight.
Let it.
You said I slimmed down. He could probably just chuck me through a wall right now. He takes me by.
No, I was just saying that the Mets coaching staff has been setting a really good. I mean, it's only five games into the or six games, whatever, into the preseason, but they've been setting a really good tone in camp. The players seem a lot looser, and this is not a knock on Buck. I love Buck, but it's true they seem very a lot more loose. Like they're there to have some fun, and I think Carlos Mendoza might have a little bit to do with that.
Those effect.
Joe, kick him out.
Am I jacked up again?
Yes.
It's your
what
mood.
Are we doing, Comcast?
Your mood is jacked up, dude. What's going on?
God, he's got like a little line for a mouth. Oh, it's gone now.
All right, I'm leaving. I'm going to set some shit going, and then I'll come back.
That's a
you got to walk mouth. Physically out of the room, too, not just out of this room. He's not listening.
he's really good. You know, he gets really upset about these type of things. That's when he nerds out. It's going to be great when he comes back. Okay, so go ahead. Let's talk about the pitching staff, the pitching that the Mets have received from these guys. They're keeping the runs down. They're doing pretty well, I think. I mean, it's looking positive at the moment. That's all.
I was gonna say they're a bunch of gritty pitchers. You know, they're not. They all have some experience. You know, they all have the ability to do really well. And if things come together, kind of like it did in 2015, right? If everything comes together, we can have a really successful year with this pitching staff. I mean, you just never know.
They're only pitching two innings at a clip anyway. The starters,
right?
Hopefully, if they can do five innings of two runs.
I gotta tell you what, Rodriguez is still kind of pissing me off a little bit that five innings is acceptable. You know, it's just I'm not used to that, but
I hate it more than any of you guys. Trust me.
Yeah.
My your goal should be to pitch nine innings. You should dominate the other team. It's you against them. That's the competitor in you. You should want to compete and you should want to fit and do your job. And as a starter, your job is to pitch a complete game every time out. That's your job. hold teams down, yeah, that's part of your job. But your job is to go out there for 9 innings. And if you get shelled, they take you out, fine. But you should try 9 innings. These guys just want to do 5 and they jump out. They're like, oh, I've done a great job. I've done my part for the team.
Right. It's really not, because it puts stress on the bullpen. And the bullpen is always iffy. You can't get the same guy coming out 4 days a week pitching an inning and expect him to always be good. So he's going to give up leads. It's tough, right? Because when these pitchers, starting pitchers are in here, they establish themselves. They should be able to, every time they see a batter for a second, third time, adjust what their pitches are and adjust to that actual batter and what they fall for, and just not look like a routine. And that's what happens. Third time through the lineup, it's routine. All the batters know what to expect.
They blow themselves out, okay, on every pitch. Every pitch doesn't have to be thrown at 100% effort. You don't. If you're a starting pitcher, you run your first 2-3 innings, you're running at 80%. You know, yep. You're a little bit hyped up, but you're at 80%. And then once you settle in, like third inning through the seventh inning, that's when you crank it up to 100%. And then you try to finish out the other 2 innings on what's left over. But, you know, your goal is to give the team 7 quality innings every single time and to pitch the next 2 to get the win. That's how pitchers should pitch, and you wouldn't have all these injuries, but they're not taught that now. They're 100% maximum in every pitch. Of course, you're only going to last 5 innings, bro. You're killing your body.
I've noticed even it coming below 5 innings in some cases, like 4 2/3, 4 1/3.
Openers. They have openers now. Guys that come in and pitch 2 innings to start the game, and then the starter comes in.
Part of the plan, right, is having that middle pitcher.
There's nothing wrong with that, because there's a lot of thought into that, and I appreciate that. However, you know, then you should do it all year, because when you're a pitcher, you need consistency. You need to know what your role is. I don't care what anybody says. You're a pitcher, you're a pitcher. No. If you know that you have to give your team 2, 3, 4, 5 innings every single time, you're not going to pitch the same as if you're only coming in for that 1 inning, you know? Diaz comes in for that 1 inning at 100%, man, every single time. So that's why he's so successful. He's throwing 100 miles an hour at 100% every single time. He does it 2 or 3 days in a row. He sits for 2 or 3 days. It's amazing. It's a great job if you can do it, but not everybody can come in and do that. And he's a good pitcher for that. However, when you're a starting pitcher, you can't rely on that. You have to save yourself a little bit. The whole game, like I said before, 80% first 3 innings, and then 100% up until the 7th or the 8th, and then you wind down and try to win the game. That's what a starting pitcher should be in the majors. That's a job, you know? Nowadays, they can't do it, so.
Oh, we may get Ferrat. Oh!
Oh! What happened to Keith?
What the hell's going on here today?
Dude, I don't know who's producing this show, but I'm okay. I haven't gotten killed off yet.
Uh-oh. I don't know how long I'm going to be here because Comcast. So how's the show going?
We've been talking about the same topic, hoping you would come on so you could fill in. But I guess we can move on, unless you got something to say about the starting pitching.
Well, no, I wanted to wrap that.
Uh-oh. It's frozen again.
Come on.
That's a good picture, though. Keep talking.
Oh, you can still hear me, though. All right.
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. Well, I was going to say one of the guys that was a candidate to fill in, at least for Senga in the meantime, went down today, Max Kranick. He pulled a hammy. He'll be out. And so.
He did? Oh, man.
He did. So, here's a very valid question. Do you think that I'm talking about Senga because I'm breaking up, or
did I think? No, you said Kranick.
Okay.
Yeah,
but I know that I'm breaking up again, and I thought maybe somebody missed that.
Oh no, because I was meaning that he
had
cracking the starting 5. My virtual background went away, so excuse the
No
background.
That looks.
But, yeah, they.
It's like a giant pencil in the corner.
Huh?
It looks like a giant pencil in the corner.
You know what that is? Because I have 10-foot ceilings. It's a light bulb changer.
Yeah.
I just didn't put it back in the garage. But
light bulb.
Huh? I was trying to turn on your light bulb because
don't do that to him. Let him focus, Farachi.
What was I saying again? Yeah, they said that Kranich was going Kranich, the Kraken, had a good chance of cracking the top five in the lineup, and now he's out. I mean,
yep,
Farachi,
he did.
It's a grade two. I don't know how long that's a thing for. Hey, Cornet. Man, look at this chat.
I think they said a month.
For Kranich?
Mm-hmm. Look at that. Good job, Cornet, with the stats.
Yep.
I love that guy.
Okay. Guy. McGill,
nice game.
Quintana went yesterday? By All Star break. Mm-hmm. Everything's All Star break. Remember. that's one of our things.
It always happens.
All right. You guys went over the staff. I want to, mm-hmm. and this is going to be a frequent topic of ours, I'm sure, until it gets saga scenario. I don't want to call it saga because he's not being dramatic about it. We can all agree. Rodriguez came up with this, and kind of we've been sprinkling this around for the last couple of years to treat him. Sign Pete long term. That's number one, right? And then there's got to be a co-captain situation here between Pete and Lindor. This team anchored by those two guys, right? That's the anchor of the lineup. And between the two of them, with the way that Pete gets all fired up and Lindor, goes and knows just the right moment to go over to the pitcher and say, "Hey, buckle down, bro." And playing elite defense. Lindor, Pete playing 10 times better defense than we ever thought that he could have. Right?
He's pretty good right now.
Right. So Rodriguez, obviously, this was your idea. So I'm not going to ask you if you agree with it.
I agree.
Laris is going to agree also, where's your confidence level at, Keith, with Pete eventually resigning? We should do a chart throughout the season. Producer Joe, put something like that together. Our highs and lows. We lose four in a row. Pete's gone. 20% chance he resigns.
I mean, I think we're going to make another like Thor Garneau type of trade to Toronto.
Everyone on
their
team.
Wait, hold on. Keith, you mentioned that, but do you remember how we were like, man, this is we just stole from Toronto in that trade with Dickie, Syndergaard, and Darno.
In hindsight, we still did, right? Because we got the Cy Young for him, but Dickie was never, he was good for a couple of years, but he was not that same type of pitcher. And what we got from Thor. Well, not Darnold.
I think he was a really good pitcher.
If Darnold was a Viking, his name would be Darnold the Fragile. But
and now he talks shit. So that
I know he hates us when he was the one that couldn't stay on the field. But it was the Mets.
He got paid to be in a freaking hospital and wear Band-Aids. Anyway,
how many years can you put up with that,
dude? One thing. One thing Cohen had said was that if Pete performs well, I hope that we have some good competition for him to make some good money or something to that effect in the offseason. In other words, no matter what happens, he's going to go into free agency before the Mets sign him. It's kind of what I felt Cano.
Wow.
Whoa. Cohen was Cohen was hinting at. I don't necessarily agree with that. I understand that Pete had a 220 batting average last year, but I find that as an opportunity to try to get some money out of him. So just to wrap this up, I think he may have had a conversation with Boris. Boris still may be asking for something too high based off his 220 average last year. They don't want to pay it. and they're going to let the year ride out. I do think we have a really strong chance, better than anybody, to re-sign him. But there is a possible chance of or risk of loss. I just don't want to go to the Phillies or to the Braves because that would be disastrous.
It's like trading David Wright. And went to those places willfully, dead to me.
I would. That's it. Dead. You're done. I would have to break my heart and kill him off.
Done.
But you know,
adding Yankees to that list. Oh,
he's also at a weird age.
Who's the dumbass? Did you guys see the swap that the Mets would sign Soto and the Yankees would sign Alonso? I was vomited in my mouth. Did you guys see that?
That's ridiculous. There's no reason to. There's two totally different players, totally different positions. We can sign both. Why not? Why not bring Soto in? What, you think I'm in love with DH? What's his name? What's it? DJ Chubby?
Come on.
DJ Chubby can sit on the bench for all I care and never see an inning.
You would take Soto over DJ Stewart?
I would take him. I would take him over five DJ Stewarts.
Is that even a question, really?
Is that even a question, right, Keith?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always a risk when you let somebody of his caliber kind of fly into free agency. He's also at a weird age, right? He's at like 30. Is he looking for 10, 12 years? Because that ain't going to happen. He's looking for a good 7-year solid contract.
He's 30 already.
Who, Soto?
No.
Oh, Pete?
Yeah. Pete, yeah. It's because, right. Is he looking for 10 years? Because we don't want Alonso hanging around 40 years old, do we?
That's what Keith just said.
How old is Pete?
He doesn't know. Ask Cornet, stat man.
Yeah.
Cornet knows. Or producer Joe.
No, he's not 30.
He's got to be 28.
How long has he been in the league?
29. He's going to be close to 30. 29? Yeah, 29. So free agent is
going to be 30. That's so far away, Keith. You're so far off. Don't say things.
Exactly. Anymore. Actually, I'm right on point because he's going to be 30 during free agency because his birthday is December 7th. So right after the season's over, he's 30. So do you want to sign a 30-year-old Pete Alonso to a 10-year contract? And is that what he's looking for? I mean, there's so many questions.
Yes. 100%. And you know why? Because he becomes a DH at some point.
And you structure the contract.
The fact of his talent being on the team for all those years, and then when he's older, his experience being out there. So, I mean, there's a lot of positives to it. So, not against it, but I'm just saying from a Mets perspective, is that's what they're going to be thinking. Do I want to sign a 30-year-old to 10 years?
As long as he doesn't do the David Wright thing to us, you know, he's signing for 10 years, and then he don't know when it's time to go.
Well, there's no Carlos Stanton thing where it's like, incrementally increasing all the way into your grandfather.
Exactly.
He hates traitors. He hates loyalty. I don't know how do we make Rodriguez happy?
It's not loyalty. In loyalty, he should have sat down and said, you know what, Justin Turner, you could have third base. We would have had Justin Turner for the last 10 years instead of David Wright's achy back. And when he comes in, you would have rather. He almost, it looks like he's off the roids, doesn't it? I think he's a little bit off the roids, David.
Oh,
right?
My God.
You're looking at a little thing.
Producer Joe, this is blasphemy. Dude, it's got to be.
I love David Wright. Love David Wright. I love him. I'm just saying. It happened.
Would you have rather him gone and sign with the Marlins? Remember those rumors?
I'm just trying to get you upset.
The worst thing is when they go into our division rivals, like Reyes to the Marlins.
I haven't seen my ex-wife.
Like that other pitcher, Wheeler, what's his face, to the Phillies.
That's tough.
That's a good point, George.
These are the worst case scenarios. I mean,
that's a good point.
You know, like I always say, go to Texas, which was always a joke, but now it's not, right? Or go to Seattle.
Traitor.
Right. Or go to Seattle. But in our own division against the rival, I mean, like Darnold to the Braves, Murphy to the Nationals, that was all a stab in the heart.
How is Murphy in our booth talking about our players after everything he has said and the way he just left?
Murphy, I'll never forget him getting the big deal. Really aggressive and angry towards the players on the field when he was at the Nationals. And I find that really hard to forgive. I will always love his performance in the playoffs in 2015.
Of course.
And I will always remember that and cherish that. But after his tenure with the
Mets, that ball that got under his glove? You remember that ball that got under his glove in the World Series?
Well, he wasn't known for defense. So
I also remember the Canary Boy playing soccer with the baseball in left field. But,
The Warthogs.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why does it have to turn bad? Why do we go back on memories and we just turn them into bad memories? Instead of like,
good memories.
It's all great. It goes on with us.
And then all of a sudden it goes downhill.
I was talking about his home run streak with against the Cubs and the Dodgers and how well he was playing.
I think Karachi started it. I think it was Karachi started talking about the Mets going downhill.
So I felt to defend myself, I needed to insult Cespedes.
I enjoy that insult.
You know what? Max Perez was really good for a minute, man. It was a lot of fun having him on the team for a second until he went kablooey and started eating pigs and having
kablooey is right.
Of course, I don't know what happened with him and the pigs, but he caused us a season. Most definitely.
That's terrible. Let's not discuss him anymore. All right. Did you guys touch on the defense? While I was out?
For a second, we did. We did talk about defense getting better. Talked about Jose Iglesias playing shortstop. Very good defender. And if you team him up with Francisco Lindor, you would definitely have maybe the best defensive duo in the league because they're both really good. But can he hit enough to do that? Who knows? I think positions are open right now. I would definitely take the best player with me, North. Whoever's the hottest at the end of spring training goes up north. That might hurt Vientos and Batty, but it is what it is.
Right. Exactly right. So and then Lindor, working with these kids in the offseason, and trying to drive that defense home. Mm-hmm. That's another reason why Lindor should be at least a co-captain.
Absolutely.
Well,
perform well with the glove, would you rather him stay on the bench or would you rather him play back in AAA? Because I think he has some options left, right?
I would send Batty down.
He's young enough, right?
He's still young enough and it could happen for him. He's on the cusp. It's just about, he really didn't bat that much. He didn't have that much, that many innings or that many at bats. So, Even with what he had, let's say he played half a season or less than half a season. If you make him play a full season with the stats he had, he hits about 20 home runs. Maybe bats 230 if he goes up a little bit, drives in 60 runs, 70 runs. That's not bad for a second-year player at third base. You got to think
about that. That's what everybody's got to remember.
It's not. He doesn't have to come in and be a 30-home run guy. He could come in and do 20, 22 home runs, which he can certainly do. Play good defense, which he can, and bat for a high average, which is what he's kind of known for. He's a good hitter. So he has a lot of potential. It's his second year. So, same thing for Vientos. And Alvarez could just explode if he gets a chance. He could hit 35 home runs easy, that kid. If they show him how to play.
In batches.
Dude, he's
remember last year that stretch.
He's a strong kid and he wields a big bat. So when he gets it, it goes out. So if they let him rest, he can probably hit 30. Be nice. That'd be
crazy. I'm curious to see what happens with the on-field decisions this year, especially with all the rumblings last year of Buck not having full control and other people saying he did and he didn't want to play the kids. So now with the new on-field management and GM, very curious to see how that plays out this year.
I don't think he had control, Keith, because he didn't want to play Vogelfat. He wanted to play other guys, but he was instructed to play him no matter what. So I think Buck, how are you going to tell Buck who not to play? You got to let the guy play what he thinks,
He didn't get a good deal.
That experience, So
he got a
royal
deal.
It's a shame. You got to think about why they have Mendoza, right? He's a rookie manager who's probably going to talk with the front office a lot, and they're going to have a lot of influence over him. So a lot of the decisions will probably be mostly be front office decisions until Mendoza, really becomes entrenched as a Mets manager.
I hope the decisions are a lot better than playing Vogelbach every day at DH, because that was disastrous. I mean, it was so obvious and ridiculous at a certain point.
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody would have been a better option.
He would get a hit, and his time would reset. Oh, all right. Well, he got one hit, so now he'll be back. He walked first.
He got a walk. Oh, he's on again. His eyes.
He walks all the time. What does it matter? He walks. He can't run the second. There's a ground out. He's a definite double play.
No. I think most of the major leaguers could run backwards as fast as he was chugging around frontwards.
Guaranteed. Remember that time we tried to stretch into the double?
Oh my god.
Hey, all right, Mark, stop. If you retire your father's number, Hojo, what number do you think Pete will wear?
I think that Hojo will allow Pete to be grandfathered in.
I love your answer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I like it a lot. Beatty needs to stop hitting it on the – yeah, he was pounding the ground a lot last year. And here we got stats, Rodriguez. 50.4 ground ball rate, and the average in MLB was 44%. So
could have been that. Tell everybody hit the uppercut. Uppercut it. Hit it into the air. No,
play golf more.
Just hit straight line drive, dude. Straight line drive.
You think that's pitch selection, Rodriguez? That he's not really looking at the right pitches, and he's getting more cutters and sinkers and things like that. And he's getting on top of the ball, or do you think that it's his swing?
I think he's not prepared to face a major league pitcher. He should really understand what the pitcher has and what a pitcher would throw to him. You know, not what I'm going to hit off the pitcher. It can't always be that, because sometimes a pitcher will be so good that you don't know what he's going to throw. So you should have a plan in your head, how you're going to face the pitcher, how you think the pitcher's going to pitch you, how the pitcher has pitched lefty hitters that are about your size and with your type of swing. You should research all that before you face the pitcher and have a plan when you get up to the plate and not try to just guess that, oh, I'll just hit a fastball when he throws a fastball. No, you should know where he throws the fastball to guys like you. So you should look for it and expect it. You know, Tony Gwynn was talented, but he got talented because he studied and he figured things out. He was smart. He knew what the pitcher was going to throw to him before the pitcher even knew what he was going to throw because he did his research. That's how you become a major leaguer. Sometimes augment your talent by using your brain. And I think if he does that this year, he'll be okay.
Some of the chat stuff is funny.
Yeah, well, let's do some Terzio stuff. I like the first game of the year. Keith Hernandez took the day off. you're talking Kranich, hamstring issue. Yes, Terzio. Marte needs to step up and play. Let's see how it goes after today.
He tore up the Dominican League.
He did. He hit from start to finish. Otani told my ex-wife he's gonna give it deferred money, or he may backload it.
That was good. So, Joe, give him a clap, man.
That's spring training. Well done. Don't use too much of the good stuff in spring training.
Oh, here we go.
All right. So, SNY, they have an article out projecting what players will be heading north with the Mets come once we break camp. Look at the Cornet. Cornet is producer, one B to Joe. He got 57.2% fan.
I knew it was gonna happen.
Oh man.
Sorry.
Honest mistake.
So some solid numbers, 833 OPS expected versus the fastball. Excellent, but the breaking ball stuff. Surprise, surprise, the rookie is having trouble with breaking balls. All right. He's got this.
You gotta let the kid play. He's talented. He's just gotta play, and he'll figure it out because he's done it all his life. That's how he got pretty much here. So give him a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no David Wright's not in front of him now. He can actually play third base the whole year.
All right, let's go through this roster really quickly here. Catcher, they have Alvarez and Narvaez, which Narvaez came out over the offseason and said he would not, I don't remember how strongly he said this, but he would not mind being traded because he signed the deal to be a starting first baseman. Catcher, and he lost it. Actually, he lost it because he got hurt.
Go hit 220 someplace else with three home runs. Go do that. Go do that. There's plenty of teams. Ask McCann what
teams. He was a big Nito fan, apparently.
Major leagues, we know what he does to Lindor. Can happen.
Listen, no, you know what? That stopped already. Lindor got himself a wash. He got himself a bath, one of those Santeria baths. And he cleans himself off the devil juice of Nito. So Nito now doesn't suck him dry like a succubus. That's,
all right. So at first base, obviously Pete, they have McNeil at second base, Lindor at shortstop. They have Beatty and Joey Wendell.
Acuña should be at second.
Oh, no, Nimmo's going to left. Sorry.
Listen, guys, Acuña is going to be in AAA.
Stop talking bad about Acuña.
I like Acuña. Turner said McNeil added muscle. Yeah, we don't like it. We didn't appreciate that.
Here we go. 267.
Didn't he have even before he pulled up the oblique thing a few years ago?
Supposedly.
Jesus.
I wonder why.
Well, he did. Well, Keith Hernandez says he never had an oblique problem because he never did a sit-up in his life.
There you go. You don't need to do a sit-up to play first.
That is the key.
You don't need to do a sit-up to play second either. I mean, come on.
Oh, man. Outfielders. They got Nimmo, Marte, Bader, and then Tyrone Taylor and DJ Stewart, favorite of the show. In the outfield, they have Vientos, DJ Chubbsy. You're in the mix. You got Vientos at DH, and then starting pitchers. Again, this is breaking camp, not injured. They have Severino, Minaya, Quintana, Adrian Hauser, Tyler McGill. Not exactly a fearsome fivesome, but
all they have to do is give you innings.
Solid.
And keep you in the game. Just keep us in the game, losers, so we can hit. I mean, guys.
Christopher Mooney, I feel like that's a new name. Welcome into the show. Aside from Acuña, who else do we think will be in AAA and AA?
Go ahead.
Hopefully not anybody like Vientos or these guys, because we want them up here playing. I want to go through the relief pitchers here. Just
before we go there,
go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, like, your opinion. What do you guys think? How many games Vientos is going to play this year if he's in the majors? I mean, because it's
who?
Vientos.
I didn't. Oh, 162.
What do you think he's going to play? 162 DH and third base.
DH. If he plays 20 games at third, it'll be a lot.
So the baby can get a shot. Baby.
He could also spell him a few games at first. He did that a few games last year.
You can definitely play first. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm curious to see how it's going to turn out, but yeah.
These guys have to play if you're touting them for so many years, saying how good we have a farm system, and we have these guys coming up. You got to bring these guys up, because there's going to be guys leaving next year, and you're going to have to bring Acuña. You're going to have to bring Gilbert. The Jet guy. What's his name? I forget his name. But there's another guy. There's three guys right there that are on the cusp. The guy Alex Ramirez, the outfielder, is a pretty good player. There's a couple of pitchers that are in camp right now that are probably not going to make the team, but they're going to be in AAA. Mike Vassell, I think it is. And there's another guy. Vassell. Oh, is that who you're trying to think of?
That's who I was trying to think of.
Sounds like Chef Ramsey talking about Basil.
Isaac, I was gonna say Williams, and I was like, that's not right, so I'm not gonna say it. It is
Williams. That's Williams. There you go. That's why we have such great guys on this podcast, man. We have our own data staff down there telling us
that's right.
What we don't know.
Mr. Joe doesn't even have to do what. Mr. Joe, there he is.
See, there we go again. Yeah. You're gonna piss him off again. Feelings. Yes, I didn't hurt his feelings. What, Joe? What?
He just wanted to interrupt.
That's his mother. That's his mother, Joe.
Yeah, like careful. For real. That's uncalled for.
But it's true.
Christopher Mooney. Okay, so Christopher Mooney confirmed new to the program. This is the first time he's come across us. Welcome
aboard, Chris.
Watching Welcome. Along with us. All right. Relief pitchers. Now probably gonna get fined for what Joe just said about the mom. Diaz, obviously, okay. Brooks Raley, Adam Ottavino. Yeah, we should definitely discuss that. Adam Ottavino. Raley pitched a 3 ERA last year. We talked a little bit about this. We gushed a little bit about the bullpen last week.
Yeah.
Jake Diekman, Jorge Lopez, Drew Smith, Michael Tonklin.
He's not going to make the team. He's not going to make the team. Because I saw him pitch already, and he was just throwing straight meatballs down the middle to these minor leaguers, and they were hitting him. He's terrible. Please, somebody, trade for Drew Smith.
Take downtown Smith. Mr. Meatball. A trade for him. Well, the other guy that's in the mix here, they're talking about the 175 mile an hour flamethrower, Fujinami.
He's going to make the squad.
They're projecting that he will start in the minors because he has business, because he has minor league options. But I don't believe. I don't believe that this Mets team is about doing stuff like that. I know in the end it's a business, but it's a 1 year, $3 million contract. Yeah. If he shows control and he's lefty,
dude,
he should be at camp next week.
Mount Fujinami.
He should definitely. Oh, that's a good name. See, that's a good Isaac. One. That's a good one. Good job, Isaac. I like it. 102. 102 lava coming at you. Let's do this. I like that guy. Anybody who throws 102, I like.
what do we think about Sean Reed Foley?
He should never see the mound at City Field again.
So I just read a little bit further, and it says that one potential to knock Fujinami out because he's out of options is Sean Reed Foley.
God. Yeah, out of options. He should be out of options. He should never see the Mets dugout, okay? Sean Reed Foley. Get out of here. You got three names. Go at it. Go play in San Francisco. That's where you belong. Go back with J.D. Davis, Sean Reed Foley.
There's our J.D. Davis reference for this week. And then on the injured list, staying up, David Peterson, Ronnie Mauricio, obviously, for the year. And then they add Kranick to that list today. So obviously it's still early on in the spring, but we are cautiously, very cautiously optimistic about getting through healthier each and every day, getting through the weeks and the pitchers to build up their stamina so that the bullpen doesn't get as taxed as it did last year, which is when we started that was that. So the key, and I know Rodriguez will definitely agree with me on this, is to get the starting pitchers ready to give you 6 innings game one.
We think we can get 6 innings from these pitchers.
Woo! It's too still sad that he's right. You know,
listen, so I said priority. I said the priority. Oh, I didn't say
the priority is to get 9 innings from them, but hey, we're probably getting 4.
Well,
are you kidding me? If we're lucky, what? We get 4 innings.
Let me throw a 2/3 in there, Keith.
4. Good God.
Now pitching for the Mets, Jason Vargas. Opening day. The number two, Jason Vargas.
You know, you can still bring back Dickey because he throws a knuckleball.
Yep.
He can still come back.
Every time I throw it, 81, 82. I think of that picture of him in the dugout.
That's it.
Where he looked completely lost. I mentioned Luis Lopez Terzio. Luis Rojas.
We can find that picture.
And then take him out of the game manager. Luis Rojas. He was the guy who couldn't button his deal, right?
He put his hat down and he put his ears looking like a Martian. He looked like a moron and he wanted to be the Mets manager.
But didn't he also like only button like the top 2-3 buttons?
Yeah, he couldn't even when he first.
That was messy. After the Beltran thing. Super messy.
Come on, man. Come on. The Mets are not well known for their press conferences too. They're pretty bad. They're pretty schlocky. They bring these guys that look like trolls, you know, to announce people. Who wants to see that? Have you seen the Mets guy who does the things? He looks like a monster. He's talking. How? Now we're talking about Beltran. And he comes up with his, he looks like a troll. It's horrible.
I mean, I know who should replace him.
We could do it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So any surprises on that list? I don't think so. From my point of view, I would like to see Fujinami up in the majors if he shows control in spring training. But outside of that,
I want him in the majors if he doesn't show control. Because if you throw 102 with no control, no one's going to get in that batter's box and feel comfortable. They're all going to be shaken. All right. And what is he, like 6'9" or something like that? He's a pretty tall kid, but he throws hard, right?
Is he that tall?
I don't know. I'm making it up. I just saw the Randy Johnson thing. Where
he's the Randy Johnson of.
In Japan, he killed like 5 seagulls.
Randy Johnson got nothing on him.
There it is.
Right.
There it is.
He's 6'6".
6'6". Big guy. Those 100.
180.
Oh. He needs to eat some pork chops.
Well, no.
Rice and beans.
Our ace, to our 2-time Cy Young Award winning ace, was really skinny.
Who's that? $6
and 10 pounds.
Who's that? Who are you talking about?
Our former A's. Remember how lucky he was, a 2-time Cy Young Award winner? World Series champion?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Mofongo.
Cy Grom.
Mofongo the trader.
Cy Grom. No, I'm just saying that, you know, that the skinny kids can sling it.
Traitor!
Oh, come Thank on,
you.
Joe.
Thank you. Thank you.
There you go, Keith.
Producer Joe is on point today, man. What happened to Keith? What did Keith say?
No, Keith left. He's left the building.
Oh, Keith left the building. Okay. All right. Must be a potty break again.
All right. Well, I think the only thing that we haven't talked about, unless you guys covered it, we talked about David Wright last week being at camp, Daryl Strawberry at camp this week.
We did not talk about Strawberry.
Did not talk Strawberry. Okay. So Strawberry's at camp, making the rounds, you know, whatever you feel about the turncoat skank Dodger.
No, he's no, there. Listen. He used to come visit us. You know, he used to visit us at our job. Okay. So we got that on everybody else. I seen him there. Okay.
And he
was in close proximity to me. So I forgive him. That's enough of a reason. It makes no sense. I got nothing against Strawberry. He's a true Met, man. Every time you interview him, all he talks about is he bleeds the blue and orange. He said it many times. He's going to be retired this year. He's always wanted to. He said, I made a mistake when I left the Mets. He said it. Okay, yeah. So what's there to be mad at him about, dude? He comes to the camp. He's a preacher now. He does the right thing, allegedly. And, you know, so what are you going to say? God bless him.
That was fun.
We thought producer Joe kicked you out for something that you might have said.
No,
you were completely gone.
It's possible too, but for some reason I just got booted right out.
You know how many years we've been doing this, and our production values are just getting worse every year. How is that possible? I thought we were much better.
I think whatever
you said, production value.
I didn't press anything, and then I just got booted. So
some shit's going on. Well, anyway, we're talking about Darryl Strawberry being at camp, and I guess this is the forgiveness episode for Rodriguez, because talking about how
I never had a problem with him. He is a son of a gun. I didn't want to think about that anymore.
See, but he owned up to his mistake.
So did Gooden. They had a pretty good interview the other day. If you guys are out there, you met fans, look it up on SNY. You know, these two guys had real good interviews, and they spoke about their Mets times and how they regret it leaving, and that they're happy they're going to get retired as Mets. And they seem to be true Mets, so I got to give it to them. And they would have been a true Hall of Famers, man, if it wasn't.
Oh, for sure.
They would have had some better coaching, better managing. They would have been really good. Oh, look at this guy. There he is.
Jason Vargas in all of his glory.
That's not even the bad picture.
No, that's not the one.
No. Oh.
But that's pretty bad.
Yeah, well, listen, but Strawberry owned up to, you know, that he's obviously, that was the turning point of his life, not just his baseball career. It's, you know,
absolutely.
Everything went to hell after that. And
he wasn't a good boy in New York either, but, you know, he was.
But he was like, it was his environment. It was like his vibe, his environment. So he did his things in New York, and then he went to L.A. and spiraled.
He admitted that going to LA was the worst thing he could have possibly done.
Stupid LA. Screw the Dodgers.
Dude, they have all these players, and they've only won one championship in the last, 20 years. So, whatever.
Remember, he I know he was a skank, and a lot of Mets are sore on that, but at that time, he was in such a place where nobody wanted to even have them on their team, and the Yankees were the only one that would sign him. So you can't blame him for going where the money is to make some money. I don't, at least. But yeah, it's in the past.
What was the final offer the Mets made to DeGrom?
Oh my God,
I don't recall. It was a lot. And
did we make an offer?
I thought we made an offer, and then Texas went above it, and the Mets had an expectation that DeGrom would come back and counter, and he didn't. He just went right to Texas.
Traitor!
You know, I wouldn't call him that if he went back to the Mets like he said he would, but he didn't. So, yeah, he's a traitor.
He's a traitor.
If the Mets could have denied it, then, you know, that's on the Mets, right? But
he's a traitor.
He's a traitor. He is.
So he is.
Yeah.
Didn't want to pay the taxes. Yeah.
But
un-American. He's a communist. He didn't want to pay taxes.
That's a lot of money.
That's why he went to Texas.
We offered him 3 for $120, and he got 5 for $185. So he got more years.
More years. I think also
$65 million more, and Texas.
Isn't there some kind of stipulation in his contract that if he has an injury year, they'll extend his contract another year or something ridiculous?
Yeah, there were some weird
shenanigans. All he has to do is buy a gun, then he gets all the tax breaks.
Listen, I love DeGrom as a Met, but his tenure with us and his injury history, I would never, ever, as an executive, agree to pay him more if he gets injured. That's just stupid. I mean,
he'll come back and pitch five games.
This is completely unfair, Isaac, calling him a 5 2/3 inning Superman DeGrom.
No, it's right. He's right. Because if you pitch 7 innings, he'd be out for the next 2 weeks. Oh, I have a shoulder contusion. A contusion.
I'm trying to find the Grom bashing on our show sheet.
Stop. I popped my hemorrhoid on an extra third of an inning, and I need to be out for a month.
Now you can go play with the sheep that he always dreamed about over in Texas.
I'm mad at the Mets. They didn't even get me a hemorrhoid pillow after I took an extra third of an inning and popped it.
There's gonna be a lot of pregnant sheep on his ranch.
Oh my god. All right. Well, on that note, we've covered a lot of shit has gone down on this show. Somehow it extended to an hour. I was gone for a bit. Keith was gone for a bit. Rodriguez held it down.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
All right,
I'm producer Joe, producer 1B Cornet.
Producer Cornet, Joe and his assistant Cornet Vanderhoeven held it down.
Oh man. All right. Let's as we get March is tomorrow. Got just a few more weeks before kicking a high gear. The season gets underway. So over the next few weeks, we'll talk about what Mets were in the MLB top 10 list. And then obviously leading up to we'll get the show right before opening day. We will get to our projections for 2024. And maybe we take a look back at what we projected for last year. See
how far we're always pretty good. Standings wise. I think we do very well on these projections.
Yeah, not far off. Producer Joe's just like the worst. Super far off. Every time.
He's Hate purple. Does that to you.
Two.
He's very purple.
Fell asleep. Sure. All right. Let's go round robin here. What you got on the way out? What a maroon.
See? He's there. He's listening.
He's always listening.
I came with to see what kind of talent we get from Toronto for Pete Alonso in our spring training trade. I can't wait to see what our patchwork starting five will do when the season starts.
Would you trade him for Vladdy?
I don't know.
Alonso for Vladdy.
I don't know. Alonso, the New York guy. That's a whole other question. We'll save that for next week.
Think about it.
That's a big conversation that I think all of us want to say on that. So that's a good topic for next week. But all kidding aside, sign Pete. As I said last week, I'll say it again this week. Sign Pete. Let's go Mets. Spring training is looking good. I hope I'm a little worried about the lineup. Hope it stands tall. And I hope Marte has an amazing year this year. Let's go Mets, baby.
Well, Marte in that action. Rodriguez, wow. What you got on the way out?
Listen, all I want to give these guys is a lot of positive energy so they can stay healthy, man. Health will decide if this team makes the playoffs or not. It's as simple as that. They have some good talent. They have a lot of filling guys that can come in and give you a lot of energy. The young guys in the minors can come up for spots, and if they're clocking and they're doing well in the minors, bring them up for a couple of games in the majors to see how they do. You know, just use the hot iron, you know, throw it out there. Get the team going. Good health to the Mets. Let's go Mets.
Got a couple of early predictions in the chat. We won't go into ours yet, but Terzio says 84 wins. Cornet says 86 wins. Terzio says 84 wins. Christopher, let's go Mets, meeting Hojo this Saturday in Syracuse. Say hi to Dad for me.
let him know that his son runs the PWTV show.
does great things.
He's a good guy sometimes.
Send a check. All right, producer Joe, what do you got on the way out here?
I got nothing. Let's go Mets. we're gonna go into a game next week, so we'll have a report from spring training.
We'll have a video report from spring training.
Do it. Little live on scene action. All right. Well, thank you very much for all that inspiration, Joe. As we head on out here, Rangers got themselves an enforcer. Let's go, Rangers. Rangers doing well. Knicks playing well. New York teams. That that can vibe right into the baseball season.
We could do that.
The boys in Queens. All right.
Knicks are playing good. We're good.
That's right. Knicks playing good. Mets will play good. Get that blue and orange. Just
the blue and orange thing
going. All right. That does it for us this week. We will bid you adieu. Keep updated on everything that's going on in the world of the Mets in the group. And we will see you guys next week. Peace out, everybody. And let's go, Mets.
Yep. Put up the bucks.